Here it is!
From deep inside your audio device of choice.
Ladies and gentlemen, as we approach the 20th anniversary of the flooding of New Orleans, the event nationally known as Katrina, I'm in London, but thinking about New Orleans. That span of years has encompassed a wave of, among other things, city planners coming to a community on its knees and declaring that some of it had to go back to nature. An activist in one such location declaring, "We're a neighborhood, not a green dot," ended up becoming this year, in a stunning and sad transformation, the first mayor of New Orleans indicted while still in office. But the city came back, one house, one restaurant, one music venue at a time. Predictions at the time of the flood that more and stronger hurricanes were in the city's future haven't been fully realized in the intervening two decades. For whatever reason, a larger proportion of the hurricanes since Katrina have battered the Atlantic coast instead of the Gulf Coast. But is New Orleans safer now? It's useful in that context to understand why and how the disaster that's locally known as the Federal Flood, how it happened. A documentary film exists that features three experts, two engineering authorities, and a whistleblower who over time pieced together that story, not widely reported outside the city. That's the story told in my documentary, The Big Uneasy, which has just gone up on YouTube. You can see it for free. End of plug. Hello, welcome to the show. From the center of London, England, I'm Harry Shearer, welcoming you to this edition of the show. And now, ladies and gentlemen, news of the warm, won't you? I think I will.
Soft, listen to the warm. We can listen to the warm.
Svalbard. Sure, you've heard of it. It's an Arctic archipelago, technically a part of Norway. It lies about halfway between the northernmost part of Norway and the North Pole. Currently, about half, no more than half, 60% of Svalbard's surface is covered in glaciers. These glaciers are rapidly melting. This is from the proceedings of the National Academy of Sciences. Rapidly melting, I say. During the summer of 2024, Svalbard experienced a record-breaking heat wave that melted more of its glaciers than ever before. heat waves in the Arctic, ladies and gentlemen. The impact of these kinds of events is not limited to the local region, has far-reaching consequences, and can act as a harbinger of things to come. We don't like harbingers, do we? Massive glacier melts contribute to global sea level rise and impact ocean circulation, marine ecosystems, and local communities, determining glacial mass loss and placing it in a historical and future climate context is kind of essential for understanding these impacts. So, a couple of researchers, well, a researcher and his team, set out to basically quantify the impact of the six-week heat wave of the summer a year ago. To do this, they utilized glacier measurements from aluminum poles. I'd love one of those, fixed in the ice as reference markers to record changes in the glacier's surface, remote sensing data from satellites, and climate modeling. They determined mass loss through both surface melt and ice calving. That's when chunks of ice break off from glaciers and fall into the ocean. The paper is published in the Proceedings of the National Academy of Sciences. The team found that Svalbard lost about 1% of its total ice mass. I know that may not sound like much. I lost that. No. But despite being 50 times smaller than Greenland, the amount of ice lost in Svalbard is on a par with Greenland's ice loss. Most of this melting occurred during a six-week period. Even past models didn't predict this magnitude of ice loss. The region of circumbarance, which includes Svalbard, lost a total of 102.1 gigatons of ice last year. This amounts to a contribution of 0.27 millimeters in global sea level rise. May not sound like much, as I say, but the study authors explain this contribution corresponds to half of the sea level contribution of all Arctic glaciers combined, estimated for 2006 to 2015. That places this region among the strongest contributors to the global sea level rise last year. The team also conducted climate modeling based on their findings, which predicted these kinds of extreme summers will become common by 2100, even under optimistic emission scenarios. So don't go buying a home on a glacier near Norway. That's good advice from the people here at Le Show. And now,
let me tell you about the bees.
Yeah. Scientists have developed a honeybee superfood. Sounds good, doesn't it? That could protect the animals against the threats of climate change and habitat loss. Bee colonies that ate the supplement during trials, hope they had lawyers, had up to 15 times more baby bees that grew to adulthood. Honeybees, as you know, are a vital part of food production and contribute to pollinating 70% of leading global crops. I don't know who pollinates the rest. This technological breakthrough provides all the nutrients bees need to survive, meaning we can continue to feed them even when there's not enough pollen, said the senior author of the study at the University of Oxford. She adds, it really is a huge accomplishment, unquote. Honeybees globally are facing severe declines. This is from the BBC. Due to nutrient deficiencies, viral diseases, climate change, and other factors, the BBC is kind enough to not mention neonicotinoid insecticides, which are deadly to bees, but, you know, we'll think of that ourselves. In the U.S., annual colony losses have ranged between 40 and 50% in the last decade, and, don't tell the bees, those losses are expected to decrease. News of bees. Ladies and gentlemen, we are fast approaching the end of summer. Well, I mean, in the minds of most of us, summer ends after Labor Day. Actually, according to the calendar, it lasts a little while longer than that, but we are near the end of summer, which is a time of sunshine. And God, I know when I was a kid, I'd lay out in the sun all afternoon at a local beach. Of course, things are very different now. We know a lot more, and now we can sing about it.
Go! Sun, 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 sun.
This is the show, and now, news of the godly. The U.S. Defense Secretary, Pete Hegseth, you've heard of him, you've seen him. He's repeatedly endorsed the Reformation Red Pill podcast, one of my and has appeared on four episodes. But the former pastor who hosts the show and who attends Hegseth's theocratic church, according to The Guardian, has voiced a range of extreme positions in recent months on issues ranging from ICE raids to capital punishment to the racist great replacement theory, adultery, and to top it off, neo-Nazism. The revelations come on top of recent media reports focused on Hegseth also boosting a video of Douglas Wilson and other Communion of Reformed Evangelical Churches pastors arguing that women should lose the vote in the United States. They also follow previous revelations about Hegseth's links to, or apparent sympathies for, Christian nationalist positions. I think one of them is seated. Positions, that is. Joshua Haynes is a member of the CREC, the Commission of Reformed Evangelical Churches Aligned Pilgrim Hill Reformed Fellowship, and his podcasts advocate for the CREC's moral and theological positions. The Guardian previously reported he once served as a pastoral intern at the church. Online, he has claimed that liberalism is a greater threat to the United States than neo-Nazism, and that the Bible is pro-ICE raids. How did they... On X, he has also advocated for capital punishment for adultery and abortion. And appeared to call for the drowning of LGBTQ plus Pride marchers. I don't think... Oh, capital punishment for abortion, I see. I should read these in advance. In an emailed comment, Hames clarified his current professional role. Quote, I'm not a pastoral intern. I've gone full-time into media and content creation. I'm not employed by Pilgrim Hill Reformed Fellowship. Unquote. Despite distancing himself from the fellowship, Hames regularly hosts Brooks Pottiger, the congregation's pastor, and Hegseth's closest spiritual advisor. You gotta have one of those, don't you? Pottiger's most recent appearance was just over a week ago. He appears alongside Hames in the profile image for the podcast's channel on YouTube, whose description reads, quote, we created this podcast as a resource to serve you in your Reformation Red Pill journey. Unquote. Gotta be news of the godly. And now, news of our friend the Atom.
Clean, safe, too cheap to meet. Safe, cheap, too cheap to meet. Cheap, safe, too safe to meet. Safe, safe, too safe to meet.
Well, what's hot? Shrimp. Walmart has recalled frozen raw shrimp sold in 13 states, lucky 13, because federal health officials say it could have potential radioactive contamination. Food and Drug Administration asked Walmart to pull three lots of Great Value brand frozen shrimp from stores after federal officials detected cesium-137. That's your radioactive isotope in shipping containers and a sample of breaded shrimp imported from Indonesia. I guess Indonesia is hot. The product could cause a potential health concern for people exposed to low levels of cesium-137 over time, according to the FDA. Quote, if you have recently purchased raw frozen shrimp from Walmart that matches this description, throw it away, said FDA officials. The risk from the recalled shrimp is quite low, said a food safety expert at Rutgers University. Cesium-137, as you know, is a byproduct of nuclear reactions, including nuclear bombs, testing, reactor operations, and accidents. It's widespread around the world, with trace amounts found in the environment, including soil, food, and air. So avoid those if you can. The level detected in the frozen breaded shrimp was far lower than FDA intervention levels. However, the agency said that avoiding potentially contaminated products could reduce exposure to low-level radiation that could lead to health problems over time. Not over time, over time. News of our friend the Atom. And now, the side effects of the week.
Botox effects may spread hours to weeks after injection, causing serious symptoms. Alert your doctor right away as trouble swallowing, speaking, breathing, eye problems, or muscle weakness can be signs of a life-threatening condition. Those with these conditions before injection are at highest risk. Side effects may include allergic reactions like rash, breathing problems, dizziness, neck and injection site pain, and headache. Don't receive Botox if there's a skin infection. Tell your doctor your medical history, muscle or nerve conditions like ALS, myasthenia gravis, or Lambert-Eaton syndrome, and medicines like botulinum toxins, which may increase the risk of serious side effects.
Never heard anybody so cheerful about side effects.
Down here were bound to change, and I said, and never count your chickens, for the cracks begin to show. So we live in plague and party, calm and fright, knowing those little pills will remain on the bedside table at night. For all this talking, talking about the water, will it ever rise up again? Talking, day. Winds will come and winds will go, but they don't scare us like the mediocrity we have built down below us. And times were we'd stay and raise a hurricane, but we know nothing's different, nothing's changed in paradise lost again. It's all just talking, talking about the water. Will it ever rise up again? Talking, talking about the water. Will it ever rise up again, again in our life? No, no, no.
From London, this is Le Show. And now, ladies and gentlemen, AI salutes AI.
AI's great, just first rate. Love or hate, it's the gold state. AI is fine. Like a well-aged wine, more like rhyme than turpentine.
U.S. companies have invested between $35 and $40 billion in generative AI initiatives. And so far have almost nothing to show for it, according to a report from MIT's Networked Agents and Decentralized AD Initiative, or AI Initiative, sorry. 95% of enterprise organizations have gotten zero return from their AI efforts. Zero's not much. Only 5% of organizations have successfully integrated AI tools into production at scale. The report is based on 52 structured interviews with corporate enterprise leaders and on analysis of more than 300 public AI initiatives and announcements and a survey of 153 business professionals. They didn't talk to any business amateurs? The report authors attribute this Gen AI divide not to insufficient infrastructure, learning, or talent, but to the inability of AI systems to retain data, to adapt, and to learn over time. It's almost as if it's artificial stupidity. The Gen AI divide is starkest in deployment rates. Only 5% of custom enterprise AI tools reach production, the report says. Chatbots succeed because they're easy to try and flexible, but fail in critical workflows due to lack of memory and customization. As an unidentified chief information officer put it in an interview with the authors, quote, "We've seen dozens of demos this year. Maybe one or two are genuinely useful. The rest are wrappers, not with an R, with a W and an R, or science projects," unquote. The author's findings echo other recent research showing a decline in confidence about AI initiatives among corporate leaders. This report does say that a small percentage of companies have found generative AI helpful and that the technology is having a material impact on two out of nine industrial sectors. Technology and media and telecom. For the remaining sectors, professional services, healthcare and pharma, consumer and retail, financial services, advanced industries and energy and materials, generative AI has been inconsequential. Well, those areas don't matter, do they? A U.S. senator is opening an investigation into Meta after a leaked document reportedly showed the tech giant's artificial intelligence was permitted to have sensual and romantic chats with children. The internal document, obtained by Reuters, was reportedly titled Gen AI Content Risk Standards. A Meta spokesperson told the BBC, "The examples and notes in question were and are erroneous and inconsistent with our policies and have been removed." They said the tech giant has clear policies on what responses its AI chatbots can offer and said its policies prohibit content that sexualizes children and sexualized role play between adults and minors, unquote. The internal Meta platform's policy document also said the social media giant's chatbot could provide false medical information and have provocative interactions surrounding topics including sex, race, and celebrities. I'm none of those. The document is said to have been intended to discuss the standards which will guide the tech giant's generative AI assistant, Meta AI, and the other chatbots available on Meta-owned social media platforms, your Facebook, WhatsApp, Instagram. Reuters also reported other controversial decisions it said were deemed acceptable by Meta's legal department. That includes a claim that Meta AI is allowed to disseminate false information about celebrities, as long as it provides a disclaimer that says the information provided is not accurate. That'll do her. And hundreds of thousands of user conversations with Elon Musk's AI chatbot, Grok, have been exposed in search engine results, seemingly without users' knowledge. This is also from the BBC. Unique links are created when Grok users press a button to share a transcript of their conversation. But as well as sharing that chat with the intended recipient, the button also appears to have made the chats searchable online. A Google search this week revealed it had indexed nearly 300,000 Grok conversations, or as we call them, Grokversations. Thank you. It had led one expert to describe AI chatbots as a, quote, privacy disaster in progress, unquote. No comment from X yet. The appearance of Grok chats in search engine results was first reported by Forbes, which counted more than 370,000 user conversations on Google. Among chats, a transcript seen by the BBC were examples of Musk's chatbot being asked to create a secure password, provide meal plans for weight loss, and answer detailed questions about medical conditions. Some indexed transcripts also showed users' attempts to test the limits of what Grok would say or do. One example, the chatbot provided detailed instructions on how to make a Class A drug in a lab. Well, that would be maybe ketamine. Elon would like that. Or not. It's not the first time that people's conversations with AI chatbots have appeared more widely than perhaps they initially realized when using the share function. Not Sunny and, no, share with an S. OpenAI recently rode back an experiment in which ChatGPT conversations appear in search engine results when shared by users or used by sharers. And from the Register, a county in the state of Georgia, is facing opposition to the construction of a massive hyperscale data center campus, reflecting the growing concerns of communities in America and elsewhere over the rush to build more cloud and AI infrastructure. Spokesperson for Coweta County in Noonan, near Atlanta, told the British tech journal The Register that the county had decided to institute a moratorium on data centers while it gathers input from various stakeholders to develop informed guidelines. This comes after concerns around a $17 billion data center development. Concerns were voiced by locals. Residents packed into a meeting of the County Board of Commissioners to express their opposition to Project SAIL, with an I, name given to that proposed $17 billion data center development in the region. According to the DSMOG website, lobbyists for the data center sector had made various efforts to weaken provisions in the planning regulations, such as those relating to environmental impact assessments. Those weakened provisions were later removed. Residents are asking for stricter controls on noise levels and air pollution, plus restrictions to ring-fence rural areas from development. The Board of Commissioners has been working diligently to develop a draft ordinance to deal with all this stuff. Data centers are still a relatively new land use and are not explicitly addressed in most zoning codes. A local citizens action group claims on its website the development will be one of the top four largest data center sites on the planet if it's allowed to proceed, encompassing 831 acres, featuring 13 massive data hall buildings. The group cites concerns about the proposed project's energy and water consumption, claiming it would require over 900 megawatts of electricity and could consume as much as 9 million gallons of water a day. I got that on me. The power needs would require major upgrades to the local energy infrastructure. Residents fear that they would end up paying for that through higher bills or increased taxes. But wait, there's more. More news of AI coming up shortly.
We may seem happy, like everything's all right. From the outside looking in, everything's uptight. But deep down inside, we're covering up the pain. It's an old thing, it's a soul thing, but it's a real thing. Pray tell what's gonna happen to brother, who's gonna help him get further. One another, is that the truth? One another, yeah, you're right. Mama get up early, early in the morning. Papa's already gone. Gone out of work and for half of what he's worth now. And you know that's wrong. What happened to the Liberty Bell? I've heard so much about. Did it really ding dong? It must have dinged wrong. It didn't ding long. Retail was gonna happen to brother. Who's gonna help him get further? One another. Is that the truth? One another. Yeah, you're right. Retail was gonna happen to brother. Who's gonna help him get further? One another. Is that the truth? One another. Yeah, you're right. Yeah, 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 yeah. Yeah, 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 yeah. Yeah, 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 yeah. Yeah, 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 yeah. Did it really ding dong?
Ding dong.
Hey, it must have dinged wrong. It didn't ding long. Did it really ding dong? It must have dinged wrong. It didn't ding long. Did it really ding dong?
Ding dong.
Hey, it must have dinged wrong. It didn't ding long. Did it really ding dong?
Ding dong.
It must have dinged wrong. It didn't ding long.
Ladies and gentlemen, over the weekend, a moment when the felon in chief brandished, showed off a photograph of himself and Russian President Putin at their meeting in Alaska. Putin had sent it to Trump, and Trump said, as I say, showed it off and said, I'm going to autograph it for him. Sounds a little like this.
Oval Office. I never remembered the password, but it's the president speaking.
Hi, Donald. It's Vladimir.
Vladdy, how they hanging?
Whatever they are, they're fine. And how are you?
Hey, Vladdy, I'm okay. Actually, I'm great. Like you said one time, nothing gets people's attention like sending troops into their cities, working like a charm bracelet.
That's good to hear. But be careful. Make sure the troops don't do too much killing. It gets to be a habit. Hard to break. Take it from me.
Eh, wouldn't take it from anybody else. So, my Russian friend, what's scratching your nads?
Donald, you always have a great way of getting to the point. Just one of the things I admire about you. But seriously, I'm afraid you may have let our silly European friend steer you just a bit astray.
Hey, Vlad, I treat Europe the way I treat my kids. I ignore them.
Well, that's so very wise of you, as usual, my very wise friend.
Yeah.
But I think in that so-called meeting you had with a Ukrainian friend, I seem to have read that you agreed to some sort of security so-called guarantees for Ukraine as a condition to end our so-called war.
Oh, look, I just said what it took to get them out of the Oval Office before the gold started tarnishing. You know them, Vlad, they're like the people in Queens. Perfectly normal, but when you need help, you don't call them. Believe me, I grew up there.
Europe?
Queens, where my dad rented crap boxes to Negroes.
Well, our intel people say you reached some sort of agreement with those people about your country having some role in those so-called security guarantees. My very wise friend, you know better than I do that that's the very opposite of wise.
So, what you're saying is unwise?
Exactly.
Well, they were all expecting some sort of security guarantees for that stupid little country. And I mean, what the hell is France or Finland or freaking Poland going to do to protect them?
Precisely my point, sir. You read my mind.
I don't do that much reading, but...
But that's why they've given you an opening. If I know you, and my intel people tell me that I do, you never ignore an opening.
Okay, so is my Jew friend say new? That's New York for so?
feel like you're
so you just say, at the next meeting or phone conversation or whatever, that your good friend Vladimir stands ready and willing to back up any security guarantees given to Ukraine. And boom, as they say in your country, slam freaking dunk.
It's so cool, you know what we say in our country. Sometimes I wish I knew what they say in yours, so I could...
You don't want to know, believe me.
Okay. So, what if our European friends, or God help us, the Ukrainians say they don't trust Russian security guarantees? What do I do then?
Donald, you know me, right?
Absolutely.
You like me, right?
I'll tell you a little secret, Vlad. I like you better than I like Melania. On the other hand, I like eating burgers better than I like Melania, so...
So you trust me?
You haven't steered me wrong yet.
So you tell them that. Maybe accept the part about Melania.
Okay. Well, I probably should get off the line. They have to clean the gold stuff in here.
One more thing, Donald. A little favor you can do for me?
Sure.
That 10% of intel you just bought?
Yeah, made a great deal. For the government, of course. When it was over, the intel guy was looking for his pants.
You could possibly send half of that my way just as a goodwill gesture?
Oh, sure. I should have thought of it. Coming your way.
Thanks, as always, for being such a wise and good friend.
Hey, my pleasure.
Now the apologies of the week.
So sorry.
Dale in Youngstown, Ohio. The Youngstown Firefighters Union has complained to the city, filed a complaint about an unfair labor practice. And the fire chief apologized for the racial remarks he made that prompted the complaint. In a text message, the chief of the fire department, Chief Barry Finley, wrote, quote, "It was decided I did create an unfair labor practice when he met last September with a couple of firefighters, union president and vice president. One of them is black." No, Finley is black. He made racial remarks to the two white union officials at the meeting. He wrote in the text, quote, "I would like to apologize to both captains for my actions at that meeting and ensure you that this sort of thing will never happen again. I'm also hoping that we as a department can set aside all the differences we have and focus on driving this department straight ahead. We actually have a lot of work to do, but a short time to accomplish it. Again, my apologies to both captains and all of the fire department for my actions," unquote. Australia's Commonwealth Bank has decided not to fire 45 workers it planned to replace with an AI chatbot. The bank told the Australian Broadcasting Corporation about the firings late last month, said the introduction of AI had reduced call volumes by allowing automation of simple queries. The bank intended for the chatbot to leave staff able to handle the tougher queries. The bank was wrong. Thursday, it apologized to the staff it let go. The union involved welcomed what it called a backflip, claims call volumes rose at the bank, leading to increased overtime for the remaining staff and management being drafted to help answer phones. It's unclear if the AI failed to perform as hoped or if the bank botched something else. CNN asked the MAGA-friendly network OAN, One America News, about its use of AI-generated photos for a segment on women recruits. A representative of the network said, quote, "The images violated company policies, which have been reinforced with all staff, and management has taken additional actions to ensure the issue is appropriately addressed," unquote. Matt Gaetz, remember him? He used to be in Congress. He now has a show on OAN. His show used the Grok-produced photos. Issued an on-air apology himself for using the images. Quote, "We made a mistake," said Gaetz. "We used AI-generated images of female service members as part of our B-roll package, and we shouldn't have. The DOD didn't give us these images. Grok did. And we'll use better judgment going forward," unquote. The Church of England has apologized unreservedly for its failings over a former priest who's been convicted of indecently assaulting young women who attended a groundbreaking evangelical church featuring rock music and rave culture. Christopher Brain was found guilty on 17 charges of indecent assault against women who attended the 9 o'clock service in Sheffield between 1986 and 1995. Trial lasted more than 7 weeks. Jury found him not guilty on a further 15 charges of indecent assault. In a statement, the Bishop of Sheffield said, quote, "What happened was an appalling abuse of power and leadership that should never have occurred. Where concerns were raised in the past and were not acted upon properly, that was a failing of the church. For those institutional failures, I offer an unreserved apology." Unquote. Said he was deeply sorry for the harm that those assaulted by Brain had suffered, adding the church was committed to supporting those affected. The church would order an independent review to examine its safeguarding responses, culture, and processes so that we can identify where lessons can be learned. The trial heard that the 9 o'clock service had presented itself to the outside world as a progressive force for good, but some victims told police they felt brainwashed by Brain. This was one of the first churches to offer services specifically designed to attract young people, with live music and an atmosphere more akin to a nightclub than traditional worship. I shouldn't have said nightclub. But wait, there's more. A couple more religion-related apologies. A couple of months ago, the Adventist Today publication, their director of operations, noticed that the analytics for the website had become strange. The number of hits to the website suddenly shot up. They consulted our technical wizard, who explained they'd been attacked by computer robots in places like Vietnam and Hong Kong, places the publication says aren't very Adventist. The publication said, "We don't know precisely what these bots from the Far East were doing. We know that the more hits we get, even if they're done by a machine that's not at all interested in progressive Adventism, the more it costs us. That's why you're seeing a screen asking you to verify you're human. We apologize. We don't want to bother you with this, but the internet is a dangerous place." And from the eminent Archbishop Alexei of Sitka and Alaska from the Orthodox Church in America, quote, "Last week I greeted President Vladimir Putin during the summit in Anchorage in a peaceful spirit of hospitality after 3 days of diocesan-wide prayer for peace. Since then, I've heard from many who viewed that moment as a missed opportunity for a rebuke or demand for peace among ongoing conflict and suffering. I repeat to all who experienced my actions as a cause of sorrow or confusion, I sincerely ask your forgiveness for the confusion and pain my actions caused." And finally, WGNS Radio in Tennessee extended its heartfelt apologies to Daniel Thomas and his family following the unintentional release of outdated information due to a technical error. An archive news story was mistakenly published and misrepresented as current. The station was unaware of the issue until contacted by family members. "We deeply regret any distress this may have caused and want to reassure our listeners that the information regarding Mr. Thomas was not recent. We are actively reviewing our systems to prevent such errors in the future. Once again, we offer our sincere apologies to Mr. Thomas, his loved ones, and all who were affected. And of course, we have no idea what that story was." The apologies of the week, ladies and gentlemen, copyrighted feature of this broadcast. And now, finally, a few more tidbits about how great AI is. AI's water consumption habit has been grossly overstated. According to a newly published report from Google, it claims that software advancements have cut Gemini's, that's their chatbot, water consumption per prompt to roughly 5 drops of water, substantially less than prior estimates. Flaunting a comprehensive new test methodology, according to the Register, Google estimates Gemini apps consume only 0.24 watt-hours of electricity and 0.26 milliliters of water to generate the median length text prompt. It's far less than the figures that Mistral AI and researchers at UC Riverside have said are required to roughly generate a page's worth of text. Google's claims are misleading, says the Register, because they draw a false equivalence between on-site and total water consumption, according to an associate professor of electrical and computer engineering at UC Riverside and one of the authors in the papers cited by Google. Data centers consume water both on and off-site. See, not the same. One of the pioneers of artificial intelligence at Google is warning the potential doctors and lawyers of tomorrow that AI might steal their futures. In an interview with Business Insider, Jad Tarifi, founder of Google's first generative AI team, who left company to found his own startup, suggested that ever-improving AI capabilities, you know, like GPT-5, may soon make getting advanced degrees in law or medicine an exercise in futility. With so many people seeking further education as they get edged out of the job market by AI, Tarifi offered a different perspective, that nobody should ever do a PhD unless they're obsessed with the field. He also told Business Insider he'd advise caution to anyone looking to get into the fields of medicine and law, which take years and often a lot of dollars to complete a degree. Quote, in the current medical system, what you learn in medical school is so outdated and based on memorization. He said, seeking advanced medical and law degrees is tantamount to throwing away several years of one's life. I have a PhD in AI, he said, but I don't know how the latest microprocessor works. Even things like applying AI to robotics will be solved by the time you complete a PhD in AI, he continued. So either get into something niche like AI for biology, which is still in its very early stages, or just don't get into anything at all, unquote. Like OpenAI CEO Sam Altman, who wrongfully insisted a few weeks ago that AI had reached PhD-level intelligence, Tarifi has high regard for where the technology is today and where it will soon be headed. He finds these advances to be all the more reason to double down on a Silicon Valley version of what it means to be human. Quote, the best thing to work on is more internal. Meditate. Socialize with your friends. Get to know yourself emotionally. Unquote. Says the Register. You might want to add check in with reality to that list of recommendations, given that current AI technology has repeatedly demonstrated itself to be very bad at lawyering, and even worse, at doctoring. But AI is great. And finally, ladies and gentlemen, you may have already received this news, but figures from a classified Israeli military intelligence database indicate 5 out of 6 Palestinians killed in Gaza by Israeli forces have been civilians. Says The Guardian, that's an extreme rate of slaughter rarely matched in recent decades of warfare. That's extremely high for modern warfare, even compared with conflicts notorious for indiscriminate killing, your Syrian and Sudanese civil wars. In global conflicts tracked by the Swedish group Uppsala Conflict Data Program, since 1989, civilians made up a greater proportion of the dead only in, remember this, Srebrenica? Although not the Bosnian War in general, in the Rwandan genocide, and during the Russian siege of Mariupol in 2022. That's good company.
Thank you.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, that's going to conclude this week's edition of the show. Back next week, same time, same radio stations on your audio device whenever you want it. Hope you can be here then. Tip of the show, chapeau to the San Diego and Hawaii desks, to Pam Halstead and to Thomas Walsh at WWNO New Orleans for help with this program. The email address for this show, how quaint. Your chance to get Cars I Talk t-shirts, even quainter, and a lot of great stuff, well, I think good stuff, to read, watch, listen to, complain about, all at harryshearer.com. And I'm on Blue Sky at Harry Shearer. How nutty. The show comes to you from Century of Progress Productions and originates through the facilities of WWNO New Orleans, flagship station of the Change is Easy radio network. So long. From London.